Find this podcast and others like it at the number one new media network, Podshow.com. Better, faster, stronger. And now with new minty fresh scent.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow. LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 54. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Oh, the big surprise revealed.
Poof.
Like revealed.
When David Copperfield made the statue go away.
Like when Kirstie Alley took off her sarong and was right. In a little bikini.
You just got to get an Oprah reference in every single show,
do.
Don't you?
I'm trying.
This is going to be the Windy City Oprah cast pretty
okay.
Soon.
I hope so. I want to be one of her XM friends. We'd be the first queer cast on her Oprah Angel Network. And
she should just have us on the damn show is what she should do.
She should. We would have to clean up our mouths.
Oprah, are you listening? No. We did radio for how many years? We can be clean if we need to.
Oprah, do you need me?
Oprah. They will listen.
Can you find me in the night?
Well, there's a little bit of music going on there, so should I say it? Should I say it now?
Say what you're doing, your new frontier.
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, you guys saw David Serta.
Yes.
The artistic director for Helena Handbag Productions. He was on, I was backstage with them at Cage Dames. In addition, you saw we were hanging out at Richard's house, and
right.
Richard talked about Cage Dames. And if you subscribe to insanefilms.com, which I hope you do, that's Richard's independent movie channel, movie podcast, you saw the interview with the people from Cage Dames. Well, I got to meet all these folks and stuff, and David Serta sent me an email and said, hey, would you like to read for a part in our upcoming show?
In a play?
In a musical.
In a musical?
And now it's been a while. Pipes are a little rusty. So I was like crazed and like, oh no, I can't. Oh yes, I can. Oh no, I can't. So I finally said yes. And our director, Tim, sent me an email and said, yeah, come here at this date. This. And that was it. So I go in, I had prepared like a little, he said, maybe some acapella, I don't know, something.
What'd you sing?
It's embarrassing almost.
No, it's not. Tell me what you sang.
But I sang Santa Claus is Coming to Town acapella.
There you go.
Because it was a Christmas show. So
yes.
I figured you can't go wrong with that. So I read a little scene and I was reading for the part of Score, who's an elf in, he's an elf in Rudolph the Red-Hosed Reindeer. And we're going to have an interview with a cast from Rudolph the Red-Hosed Reindeer. It's a David Serta and Helena Handbags production.
I love it. The season is now not complete without Rudolph the Red-Hosed Reindeer.
Right.
You just need it.
You need it. So all of a sudden I find myself practicing for a musical. I have to sing. I have to dance. I have to act. I have to say lines. I don't have a ton of lines, but let me tell you, the one-liners I have are fucking hysterical.
I'm so excited to see Peter in
a skit,
in a play. Hey, you know, if people don't know, this is based on the CBS marionette
yes.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer that we saw with I Want to Be a Dentist and all
right.
that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You know, the Abominable Snowman and
all the good
Island
things.
Of Misfit Toys
complete,
and all
it's
of that.
It's what David calls a paradage, a parody, an homage all at once.
Yes.
So it's,
were you obsessed with these? Because I was obsessed with the marionette, all of
Mr.
them.
Mr. Heat, my third.
Now, which one is that one? Because that was my favorite, and I haven't seen it since I was probably 15, 14.
My God, my sister knows that one. I think that one has to do with, I think that was Frosty the Snowman.
Is it Frosty the Snowman?
Yeah.
Okay, we have to have like a little make sure when
yeah.
we see that they're coming on the CBS.
Because
you know how to configure that. You know how to find shit. You know how to get shit and know how to find it.
Yeah.
Because I want to watch those again. But yeah, that's
yeah.
what it's based on for people who don't know. And then you all sing some of the songs from the From the actual show and then some other stuff too?
It's basically, I mean, it's all spoofed and it's all changed. I mean, legally it's totally clean and it's totally legit. But I think this is the 7th or the 8th time this show is running. We're going to have them on in another week or two here.
I had them on the Les by Gay Radio years ago, so I am thrilled. It's coming. Everything comes full circle.
It sure does. And I'm on this stage. Now, I'm used to being behind the scenes. I'm used to being, I mean, you guys have seen me at some events. You've seen me at events. I do okay on the stage.
You're great on
but now I have to fucking sing and dance and this
is new. But let me tell you one thing.
Okay.
You will finally have what you never have at any of our events.
What?
Good lighting. Which is why I do theater, because just to have a little moment in good lighting, everybody, you know, and have people
it one time.
And to have people applaud for you.
Yeah.
I think is even as an ensemble, as a group, we were talking about this because I can't even say her name. Oprah made a reference.
Oh my God.
Like that everybody should get to walk into work and have people clap for them, which is kind of interesting because every time she goes to work, people clap for her.
Sure.
And I said, I looked at my girlfriend who's an actress and I said, you know, it's amazing like how many times we've had people clap for us and how many people have never had that happen.
Yeah.
And so you're going to get to have that happen and it's exciting.
Well, it's happened in the past. I mean, I've done work in the past and I've done stuff in the past and I was really tech heavy. I did lighting direction and music. I was in the pit and blah, blah, blah. But this is just going to be, it's just another level. I feel like an adult. It's weird. But let me tell you, we have been hoofing it for 3 fucking hours almost every day. And I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
Because it's good fun.
You can complain a little bit. That's part of the actor's life. You know, your life is hard.
I haven't done Aikido for 6 months and boy, I can tell.
So tell me like what the music, I mean, you're doing club dancing. So you're doing these big dance.
No,
you're
actually.
You're doing elf dancing, you said.
So I play 3 parts. I play an elf named Score.
I love that. Whoever came up with that, that's just brilliant.
Cute because he's really cute and everybody likes him, but she's not too bright.
Yeah.
She's pretty, but she ain't too bright.
Yeah.
And then I also play a toy. So I'm a dancing toy. I'm not
going to
tell
toys.
You what kind of toy I am because it's fucking hysterical and I'll give it all away, but it's a great toy.
I want you to be. I know what I want you to be. I'm not going to say it on the air in case I'm right.
No. It's a good toy, though. It's not a toy that you'd know about, though. It's not an I mean, it's a Hell in a Handbag Productions toy, so it's really strange.
So it's not a toy I'd know.
No, it's not a toy that they sell.
I think you should play the crazy Jack in the Box when the kids come up
that's
to the
not me.
Island of
that's
Toys.
That's not me. Okay. I would love that was me, but no, I'm actually a toy that already lives on the island.
Okay.
I kind of thought I was going to do Charlie in the Box.
That's it.
Right, but no.
I could see you doing Charlie in the Box. She'd be funny.
No, the guy who played the matron from Cage James is doing it. Ed, he's fabulous. And I'm also a thugged out fawn.
A thugged out fawn.
So I get to be like a super butch fawn and it's just, we get to,
That's hot.
So.
Did you get like furry chaps or something?
I don't know. I don't know anything about the costumes yet. We're just trying to get all the dances down.
Damn, man. You should have gotten that in your contract. You might be in a thong doing some of these dances.
No, I think I know what the elf costume looks like, which is basically a lot of flesh. Which I'm okay with. That's totally cool. I'm proud of what I've got.
Ooh, everybody should come out and see lots
of
flesh.
So yeah, it's going to be every Friday and Saturday in December.
It's late night, right?
It's only late night on Friday. Friday's 10 show. Saturday's a 7 o'clock show. This is not for children.
And where is it?
It's at the Bailiwick.
In the studio.
So that's like
great.
Racine and Belmont-ish. Yeah. It's on Belmont. So
we are so should plan a QueerCast outing to go and see you. QueerCasters, email us. We should plan a little time to go and see Peter Maverick.
You can buy your tickets now because they are
going. In his debut as Score.
And you can find out more details at handbagproductions.org.
Handbag
I got it right,
productions.
David Serta, handbagproductions.org.
Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah,
I am thrilled to see you in
a
show.
Freaky.
And when does it close? Is it running through December?
All December. Every weekend in December.
Wow. Well, what a good time, folks. Well, that is my recommendation of a good thing. Handel's Messiah and Rudolph the Red-Hosed Reindeer.
I cried.
And the Nutcracker.
The
Those are the two things you should do. Three things.
I cried during the opening of Handel's Messiah. I can't help it. It makes me weep like it's so beautiful. Bum, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-da-dum, da-dum. It just makes me cry.
Yep. We should go to one of the sing-alongs. That's what I'd love to do.
Oh, the Lakeside Pride Band actually has. Is going to have a great event for kids down at the Cultural Center, at Chicago Cultural Center.
Yeah,
I don't have the dates on it yet.
We'll get it.
But I will definitely get them. We're not going to hear from them this month. They do have a show that's going to be December 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
You can find the lakesideprideband.org. But
those are gay band people.
Yeah, totally. But we are going to have the conductor
on. I think that's just really an oxymoron.
In
you
and
know,
of itself.
Or a paradox, or what do you call it? It's the obvious.
That one time.
Gay band members, you know, come on. Weren't all the gay people in the band?
They were.
Know.
or we were making the costumes for the band, or we were designing things like that. But you know, I can't just hog all the spotlight, Amy Athene. You're in a show too.
I am in a show, and I'm going to be talking about it probably closer to January, but I will be doing a show based on the assassin. Mine is not as funny at all. It's actually very
really
intense.
Important.
It's a very intense show. I'm actually doing a show called Execution of Justice that was written by Emily Mann, who wrote Having Our Say, the Delaney sisters. She also did Greensboro, North Carolina, which is about the Ku Klux Klan. She does these kind of theatrical political plays, but she wrote a play back in 1985 about the with the real trial and real interviews based on the assassination of the former San Francisco mayor, George Moscone, and Councilman Harvey Milk, who were both assassinated in City Hall by a man named Dan White. It was really truly the first gay hate crime, I guess we can say.
Well, a public. That the public really sort of
I mean, it wasn't seen as a gay hate crime. It was it was known as the Twinkie defense, which is how this guy got off. Mm-hmm. And that's what we know now, that he ate too much sugar. So the guy got off with 7.5 years for killing. It would be like if somebody killed, I'd hate to even say, but some gay member of Chicago's council and Mayor Daley in City Hall in broad daylight and only got 7 years for it.
Because they drank too much fucking Kool-Aid or something.
Yeah, because they had too much, you know, they had too many Krispy Kremes. I mean, it seriously is kind of like that. But we'll talk about it more later. Okay. But yeah, so go see your fun. Have your jollies with Peter, because mine's not also jolly. But we definitely will be talking about it. And I'm hoping to get some interviews with Emily Mann while she's in town and the director and all of it, and kind of look at that moment in history. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. So we've got a really cool performer on today's show. She has this beautiful sound. I mean, and it was so fitting that she was performing with the Congress of Starlings, because if any of you checked that out, I wouldn't say cut from the same cloth, but I would say sort of in the same vein that the neo-folk, I think I want to call it that.
Neo-folk. You can,
neo-folk.
Maybe they'll quote you on all their new albums now.
I hope so.
Andrea Bunch and Aaron Tedesco of Congress of Starlings will be opening. We had them on the show a couple of months ago when they released that CD. They're opening for Katie Curtis. And Katie Curtis is a singer that I have known for a really long time, and she has grown and grown and grown as a performer. We're going to be featuring her, or you've been hearing actually already, music from her her new CD, and we're thrilled to have her on the show and be able to really kind of sample out this entire new journey that she has. Long Night Moon.
Yes, Long Night Moon is the CD.
And so you can check her out at katiecurtis.com, CATIECurtis.com, or you can find it directly linked on our site. So it's going to be a great show of music. You're going to really enjoy this. And we're talking with Katie Curtis and all our regular gaggle of folks.
They'll be hanging out with us.
So stay tuned.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts, Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked. Sponsored by Chase.
Making your travel plans for fall? Thinking about that Christmas visit to mom's house in your old bedroom? Let the experts at GayHotelDiscounts.com find the luxury you're looking for at a price you can afford. If you need a queen in Phoenix or a king in Miami, GayHotelDiscounts.com can find the perfect room for you and your partner. Visit our website for gay destination cities and extracurricular ideas to dance off that second serving of mom's apple pie. GayHotelDiscounts.com for the gay traveler in you.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
the very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
But look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 20th, 2006, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Celebrate the holidays Steppenwolf style with Sonia Flew, a warm-hearted play about how the world shapes our families and how families shape our lives. Come to a pre-show reception for Season of Concern on World AIDS Day, Friday, December 1st, with food provided by Landmark Grill and drinks by Yes Vodka, co-sponsored by Windy City Media Group. Reception is at 6, show at 7:30, and it's only $40 for both. Just use the code 2631 online at steppenwolf.org.
The Chicago Sun-Times calls the Timeline Theater Company production of Lillian Hellman's The Children's Hour a blistering revival. And Time Out Chicago says it's a stark and sophisticated production that trembles with terrifying confusion of real life. Don't miss The Children's Hour, now playing at Timeline Theater. Call 773-281-8463 or visit timelinetheater.com.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company continues its 10th season of Think Theater with The Real Thing, Tom Stoppard's sharply funny play about love and marriage. Playing now through January 7th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets to The Real Thing, call 773-871-3000 or visit Remy Bumpo, RemyBumpo.org.
Goodman Theater Artistic Director Robert Falls directs Frank's Home, a world premiere about Frank Lloyd Wright, one of the greatest, if less than perfect, visionaries. A man who created a new architectural vocabulary but couldn't create a home for himself and his family. Frank's Home, playing November 25th through December 23rd. Get tickets at 312-443-3800 or goodmantheater.org.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents the world premiere of Argonautica, The Voyage of Jason and the Argonauts, written and directed by Mary Zimmerman. Set sail in this ancient epic tale of the quest for the Golden Fleece. Argonautica, playing at the Looking Glass Theater and the Water Tower Waterworks on Michigan Avenue. 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
Chicago's renowned dynamic duo Amy Armstrong and Freddie Allen are taking the main stage this December in their first ever holiday review, How the Diva Stole Christmas, playing in a limited engagement at the Lakeshore Theater. Amy and Freddie present an unforgettable side-splitting evening of music, comedy, and of course, a few surprises along the way. How the Diva Stole Christmas, Friday and Saturdays, December 1st through 15th at Chicago's Lakeshore Theater. Call 773-472-3492 or log on to amyfreddy.com for more.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
This is Logan Schwartzen-Grubinier from the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And my two dads and I are completely buzzing about this week's Bee in My Bonnet. This bee is as confusing as the new Catholic guidelines for homosexuality. This week, United States bishops welcomed gays into their community by saying it's okay to be gay, as long as you don't talk about it or act on it. This perplexed me. But my Carl dad explained it to me when he said, it's like how he doesn't talk about or act on his raging crush on Dancing with the Stars winner Emmett Smith. Crystal clear. This is Logan Schwartzen-Grubinier, and that's the Bee in My Bonnet. Be sure to check us out on the web at spellingbeethemusical.com/Chicago.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News. South Africa, a nation where homosexuality is taboo, passed legislation recognizing gay marriages despite criticism from conservatives and gay activists. Conservatives warned this ruling will provoke God's anger, while gay activists thought the bill did not go far enough. By referring to the first post-apartheid constitution, quote, "When we attained our democracy, we sought to distinguish ourselves from an unjust and painful past," said their home affairs minister. Quote, "Never again shall it be that any South African will be discriminated against on the basis of color, creed, culture, and sex."
Adam Leibovitz, 47, an Atlanta-based doctor, has been charged with a felony for not revealing his HIV-positive status to a 16-year-old boy who allegedly had sex with a physician. Leibovitz, a resident at Emory School of Medicine and an emergency room doctor at Grady Memorial Hospital, was arrested by the Clayton County Sheriff's Department.
And the nonprofit organizations, Chicago Filmmakers and the Reeling Film Festival this week were robbed one night. They would like to inform patrons that the thief also took unprocessed credit card slips. That's why we're talking about it. We want to let you know that if you purchase tickets at the door at Chicago Filmmakers or for the opening night at the Music Box, they believe that you should just check and make sure that your credit card is all fine. If you have information, please contact Chicago Filmmakers or go to reelingfilmfestival.org.
And he's losing his religion. Pop superstar Elton John said that if he could, he'd ban organized religion because it fuels anti-gay discrimination and other forms of bias. Quote, "I think religion has always tried to turn hatred toward gay people," John said to a British newspaper. "From my point of view, I would ban religion completely. It turns people into really hateful lemmings, and it's not really compassionate."
And ladies, they keep coming out. They're hot, they're fierce, and queer. Christanna Loken, the smoldering star of Terminator 3, has revealed that she's involved with actress Michelle Rodriguez. That's Ooh. Michelle of Girl Fight, The Fast and the Furious, and most recently TV's Lost. Rodriguez's representative refused to comment.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Patrick Harris. Loken, who this upcoming season will have a recurring role as Shane's lover on Showtime's The L Word, has acknowledged, though, her bisexuality in the past.
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Here's your kid's meal.
Oh, thank you.
Don't forget, that comes with a free prize.
A pony!
What do you say, Maggie?
Thank you!
What if wherever you went, you got more than you were expecting?
Left on Ashland Avenue.
Whoa, this GPS thing is amazing.
I know.
We've never gotten to Debbie's this fast.
Turn right on Wood Place.
Look, there's her house.
And remember, her boyfriend's name is Kurt, not Chris. Chris was her last boyfriend.
At LaSalle Bank, we think more is precisely what you should expect. More responsiveness, more service, more convenience. In a word, more.
The doctor will see you now.
Oh, my appointment's not for another 10 minutes.
Well, the doctor's running a little ahead today.
And with any luck, our philosophy will catch on everywhere. LaSalle Bank, making more possible. LaSalle Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Wicked, the most popular musical in Chicago history. For tickets, visit wickedthemusical.com/Chicago.
Hi, Neil D. Paris here from NewWorldAstrology.com, Windy City's very own astrologer. Now you can have a personal reading based on your own birth chart. Discover your life path, your gifts and challenges this lifetime, relationship compatibility, career, finance, and more. Practical advice using real astrology. It's unique to you. You'll be amazed what your birth chart reveals. Everyone has a unique life purpose. What's yours? Find out more at NewWorldAstrology.com.
Hey, this is Del Shores, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Katie Curtis, any of her music, it is so unique and yet warm and accessible. It's just like listening to a friend. There's something mm-hmm. that's introspective about it and also familiar. Like you just get exactly where she is and she's inviting us in. And her new CD is exactly that and so satisfying after listening to her music throughout the years. I think Katie was on with us when I was interviewing on Lesbi Gay Radio, and now it's fabulous to have her on the Windy City Queercast. So you're just listening to a song from Long Night Moon, which is her new CD, Water and Stone. Mm-hmm. Katie, thanks so much for being on the show with us.
Hello.
So, gosh, you have had a long, illustrious career, and you've been to Chicago many times. And we're talking to you not only because of the CD, but because you're going to be here Thanksgiving weekend. What a great thing to do at the Old Town School of Folk Music.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played that venue before?
Yeah, I've played the Old Town School a number of times, and this time I'm going to have a woman singing with me who lives in Chicago. Her name is Ingrid Groudens.
Oh, wow.
She sang with Jonathan Brooke for a long time, and so that's when I met her on the road with Jonathan, I think back in the days when we did Lilith Fair in Chicago at the World
yes.
years ago.
I saw you there too. And it started sprinkling. I remember I had a poncho.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny. We go way back together.
We sure do. I think it's such a magical space. So if people haven't been to the Old Town School or if you haven't heard Katie, definitely go check it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I point to the Old Town School as one of the folk venues in the country that really has it together on every level. They've got an acoustic music store and lessons and a little cafe and then this beautiful performing space.
Mm.
So it's a really special place to find out about, even for your own personal musical enrichment beyond this concert.
Absolutely. It's got a great vibe when you walk by too. It's wonderful. So Katie, take us to the beginning of your musical history. How did you become a musician? Where did you get started?
Well, you know, I grew up in a small town in Maine where I didn't even know that it was possible to have a career like this. I thought either you were some famous rock star or, you know, you played in the a cover band in Old Orchard Beach, Maine, which is near where I grew up. And I really didn't understand it. Fortunately, I went to, at the time I went to college at Brown University, there were a lot of singer-songwriters coming through then, and, you know, Lisa Loeb and, like, Mary Chapin Carpenter had graduated, I don't know, a few years before. And
so it's a conservative school is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of uptight people playing. No, I shouldn't point at any instruments being uptight, so I won't even go there. But
my cousin went to Brown, and I remember him coming home the first Christmas to Tennessee and him saying, you know, you can be lesbians who want to shave their legs and don't want to shave their legs who speak, you know, study Jewish culture, and you can create that as your major. He just thought it was crazy. He thought it was so awesome, you know?
That's great. Yeah. So, you know, I really felt when I graduated from college, like, oh, the best years of my life. You know, when will I ever get a chance to play to such an attentive audience ever again? And then I found the Boston folk scene, which is, you know, similar in that there's a lot of people very enthusiastic about original music and folk music and political music, you know, and music, you know, where you reflect on things going on. And so I found a lot of support in Boston. And then when I was about 30, I got signed to a major label, EMI, and that was sort of the start of having a national and even slightly international presence.
Right.
So.
And there's always been controversy. We talked to a lot of, obviously, independent artists about signing with a label, being on a smaller label, or people creating their own labels, Amy Ray and Ani and all these artists. Yeah. What was that experience like for you? Major label, smaller label?
Yeah, well, for me, getting a couple records out on this division of EMI, which the specific division I was on called Guardian, and they were really geared towards singer-songwriters. They weren't trying to turn me into a pop star. If someone had tried to do that, that would have been a big mess. But this was a really thoughtful group of people trying to promote, you know, they had Joan Baez too, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they obviously kind
they
of
got it.
They got it, yeah.
Yeah, and they got a ton of press for me and a lot of radio, which, you know, is just very difficult for people to get without the support of a big label. Some independent labels can do it, or occasionally an artist will just take off on their own, like Ani, or, you know, Dar Williams was with a small label and managed to do that. But, you know, those are sort of the unique stories, and the truth is that for most people it's very difficult to get too far without some kind of supportive vehicle behind them. And I guess nowadays it's, you know, it's a different story with the internet, but that was, you know, mid to late 90s. And at the time that was sort of the best way to get going. So yeah, that was helpful. And then since then, that label actually folded, you know, just a couple of years later, and I've been on independent label since then.
So yeah, we were talking with another artist, Jen Porter, about the power of the internet, how it's changing things for singer-songwriters and for artists, and it's a very powerful tool we have now. Can you talk to me a little bit about who were influences on you during the formative years, and also who's influencing you today when you sit down to write a new CD?
Sure. Well, early on, I was listening to that batch of LA songwriters like Carla Bonoff, James Taylor, Bonnie Raitt wasn't really in LA, but, you know, those Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, just that whole thing. And then as I progressed along, it got more narrow to more folky, like John Gorka, Greg Brown, John Prine, Cheryl Wheeler, people like that. And then, you know, I guess nowadays it's just good to hear things that are sort of taking the folk thing but shifting around a little. I've been really enjoying Ola Belle. And I've been enjoying the new Chris Smither record, which has a couple of amazing songs on it. And he's actually, you know, 62 years old. He's been doing this for a long time, but he's just written a new record that, you know, he actually just adopted a baby as well. And it's funny, this new record feels like a shift to me for him. You know, I like to listen to Aaron McCune and Peter Mulvey, and I guess Mark Arely has been the closest folk singer to my circle who has influenced me, and we ended up writing two songs together for this record, and I also think some of my other songs were influenced a little bit by him.
Yeah.
He's not very well known, but he's a really great writer, and I think his time is coming, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How does motherhood influence your work?
Well, I think I just didn't have as much energy for any kind of pretenses because I'm so tired. And I felt like, you know, for God's sake, now's the time to just be as real as possible. And I had the sense that, you know, people would hear these songs and sort of get that I was just being very direct. And I mean, I try to use poetic imagery, but I'm not trying to sound like anyone else at this point in my life. I'm really just trying to, you know, I get sort of a strong vibe about something I'm trying to say, and I just try and like really push through and say it as clearly as possible. And, you know, I guess I haven't had as much time at home for writing, but then when I do it, I feel a little more focused. And so it's kind of all worked out, I guess.
Mm. Well, what you just said about sort of me being me, saying what I have to say, do you think that's, I sort of see that as sort of the essence of folk. Do you share that?
I think that's probably right on, you know, that there's no posturing particularly. I mean, of course, there's always some.
Just a little.
But, you know, when you play your show, people want to hear not just the songs, but the funny stories that go along with your travels and your life. And afterwards, you know, I enjoyed hanging and talking with people and signing CDs, and there's a way that, you know, then I hear their stories, and it's a real exchange, I think. And it's not like, you know, people expect or want you to be on this level that's really different from them in some way.
Right, right, right.
So when you were working on this CD,
Long Night Moon.
Long Night Moon, was there kind of a theme that you saw coming up in your writing that kind of encapsulated which songs you were going to put on this CD?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's a little bit about, kind of the denying of the immediate desire, because I think with kids, first of all, you can't always do the thing you want to do because there's a child and you need to put them first. And then also, you know, that sort of has an impact on your partnership, your relationship, you know, your marriage or whatever. And then also we were in the situation of waiting for our children for a long time because we adopted them, and there was a kind of longing to that where you couldn't just go out and get what you want. You had to kind of wait for this, you know, in our case, third world country to take its time through the paperwork, which as a North American, we were like, just do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just, you can't rush it. It just takes a long time. And I felt like it required so much patience. And I just felt so often like I've never had to be so passive in a process of waiting and denying what I wanted.
Yeah.
you know, as I have in this process of becoming a parent and then being, you know, being a parent. And, you know, I suppose it's something other, you know, other people relate to through different experiences in their life. And I guess it's kind of sad it's taken me this long to experience that, because I do think it's a growth experience. But that's, you know.
Well, I think that's exactly what I was referring to in the beginning, that there is this introspection and this kind of stillness and yearning that I really hear in this CD. And it's just really a fantastic CD, Katie. And I hope people will pick it up. They can go to your website and find out where you're traveling, since we have people who listen to this podcast all over.
Over the place.
Cool. Her site is Katie Curtis, that's C-A-T-I-E Curtis, C-U-R-T-I-S.com. You've been listening to the music throughout the entire show. And she will be playing in Chicago at the Old Town School of Folk Music on Saturday, November 25th at 8 o'clock. And she's going to be with the Congress of Starlings. You heard them on our show. And I have to say, I think both of your CDs, I haven't gushed about two CDs in a while as much as I did with theirs, when the one that just came out. We just had them on. Had them on a couple of months ago. So I think you all are going to be a beautiful night and a wonderful thing for folks to do over the holiday weekend. So Katie, thanks so much for being on with us.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
The Mississippi River divides this land in two, like the way we tend to think. Black and white, red and blue.
And folks, thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com. So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows at windycityqueercast.com and in iTunes.
And email us for giveaways at wcmgpromo@aol.com.
Folks, we want to tell you that the next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
There is no higher ground. You can wave your hands up on the roof, but you might be left to drown in the streets of New Orleans. A makeshift funeral pall. Here lies Vera. God help us all.
Get this podcast and more great ones like it on the High Performance Podcast Delivery Network from Podshow and Limelight Networks.
I love it.